So for Parshas Re'eh, we're looking at the pasuk Re'eh Anochi Nasati Lifnechem Hayom Bracha Uklala. And the Ibn Ezra is quick to point out that the word Re'eh is in Lashon Yachid, it's in the singular. Lifnechem, on the other hand, is B'Lashon Rabim, is in the plural. So on the one hand, the Torah is addressing the individual, the Yachid, and at the same time, it's addressing the Tzibur. We know that the Jewish community is made of two elements, the individual and the community, the Yachid and the Rabim, or the Tzibur. If you look at the Balaturim, which you don't have on your page, I'll read it to you, it's a one-liner. He says, Re'e Anochi, Amar B'Lashon Yachid, Re'e. Uperusho, Amar L'chol Echad V'Echad. So there was a separate Amira of Re'e to each and every individual. And I think this is a very important Hashkafa. I think it reflects a philosophy, but it also has, I think, Musar, practical implications for our lives. The Mishnah tells us, in the fourth parak of Masechta Sanhedrin, why was man created one individual? And at the end of this long Mishnah, which is Ketzad Ma'aymim Ala Eidim, this is the warning that we give to the Eidim, to the witnesses before they testify. It says, Leficha kol echad v'echad chayav lomar bishvili nivra olam. The Torah addresses the individual. Every individual justifies creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for every single individual, Bishvili Nivra Olam. And the same is true because Estakel Boraisu Bara Alma with regard to the Torah. The Torah is directed to every single individual. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik often used to talk about this tension, he called it a dialectic, between the individual and the community. Who comes first? The collective unit, the entity, or the individual? And if there's a choice between the two, should we sacrifice the individual for the sake of the community? And we have a principle that chayecha kodmin l'chayecha vercha lo tamed al dam reyecha. Every single individual is considered like a full world unto himself. So this is number one, a declaration of faith on our part. We understand and we believe in the significance and the status of the individual. We will not sacrifice the individual even for the sake of the many. And this hashkafa takes us way beyond. It means hashkacha pratit, that God has divine providence on each and every one of us. Each and every one of us justifies the creation of the world, the giving of the Torah, and there's a special interest on the part of the Almighty with regard to every single individual. That's our belief. That's our faith. And Hashkacha Pratit means that God is very meticulous. He scrutinizes every individual, his actions, his merits, and the opposite. And therefore, Bishvili Nivra Olam is really the overriding declaration of faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares and is involved in the life of every single individual. The individual is not lost within the context of the greatest whole. No matter how great that entire community is, you can add millions and billions of people, but yet each individual stands on his own, independently, has a status, as Hillel says in Pirkei Avos, "Imeina nili mili," and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested and concerned with every single individual. We shouldn't think that God rules the world as a whole without consideration for the prat, for the yachid. That's not so. Re'eh, says the Ibn Ezra, Anochi nosein lifneichem l'chol echad yidaber. God is addressing himself to every single individual. The Torah addresses itself to every single individual. Every individual has his personal chelek, his individual portion in the Torah. And therefore, when the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Nunches quotes Ben Zoma, Ben Zoma looks at Uchlusia, he looks at the great masses, and he says, Baruch Chacham Arazim, Baruch Shebar Kol Elu. God created every single individual, and each individual has his role and his contribution. The individual is never lost in the entire picture. And I think the first practical lesson for our lives, above and beyond this declaration of faith that God is interested and involved in the life of every individual, judging each individual, beyond that as a philosophical concept, the first practical application is what I call achrayus, responsibility. I have responsibility. And my responsibility is awesome. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva that a person should always see the world as if it's mechtza al mechtza. It's 50-50. And every individual has within him the power to tip the scale and have an impact on the entire world. That's an awesome responsibility. But there's a flip side to this, also a very practical application. And that's what I call hakaras hatov, to recognize and appreciate, to give thanks and express gratitude to Hashem on the individual level. And this takes us back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. You could argue that God redeems the people of Israel from Mitzrayim. And that's a collective entity. It's more than that. Yetzias Mitzrayim is a redemption for every single individual. Each individual could justify the entire Yetzias Mitzrayim. For the sake of one person, there might have been Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore, this, to the same extent that we formulate this principle in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Bishvili Nivra Olam, we could say Bishvili Yatzanu B'Mitzrayim. For me, we left Mitzrayim. The Geula took place because of me. And that's why it could be that our forefathers, our great ancestors, were redeemed from Mitzrayim because of me. Every person has to make that claim. And what it means is that for me, there was a geula from Mitzrayim. Just like God created one individual at the time of the Bria, but the Bria was not necessarily just for that one individual, Adam HaRishon, but for who knows, there are countless generations of his descendants. It could be that this one person who descends from Adam HaRishon and the entire creation was for that one person. So God creates the manifold, but he's interested in the individual. And to the same extent that we could say that the entire creation is justified for the purpose of each individual until all the generations, so too with regard to the Geula, the redemption of Am Yisrael. The people who were redeemed, who physically went out of Mitzrayim, might have been redeemed for countless individuals, or even for one individual down the line, a descendant of Avi Avosenu, our ancestors. And therefore the Baal Haggadah says, V'chol dar v'dar chayev adam liros es atzmo ki'ilu hu yatzam Mitzrayim. It's a very individual statement. I would add, not only ki'ilu hu yatzam Mitzrayim, el bishvilo yatzanu Mitzrayim. It could be that for him, because he has a role to play, the entire process of redemption took place. All Ashkacha Pratit, the individual providence, is Bishvili, is for me. It's because I should be a Ben Chorin, I should be taken out of Mitzrayim. Lo es avosenu bilvad gal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ela af osanu. Osanu means God took each and every one of us. We justify the Geula. Where does this Hakaras HaTov play the most profound impact? If we fast forward to the parsha of Bikurim, which we'll have later on in Kisavo, you'll see over there that the Torah speaks about the farmer who brings his first produce to the Beis HaMikdash. He got it to Ayom Lashem Elokecha, ki basi el ha'aretz asher nishba Hashem lavoseinu loses lanu. So Rashi says, over there, in Parshas Bikurim, in Kitovo, V'yomarta elav she'encha kofui tova. Rashi says the very essence of Mikra Bikurim, the declaration of the individual who brings his first produce to the Beis HaMikdash, is all an expression of Hakaras HaTov. I'm not an ingrate. I understand, and this is something that every individual is going to declare, that this entire process that we trace back to Yetzias Mitzrayim, Arami Ovid Avi, V'yared Mitzrayim, V'yogar Sham B'mevsei Ma'od, V'yisham L'goy Gadol, Atzum V'rav, V'yirei Yosod HaMitzri, V'yotzienu Hashem Mitzrayim, V'yod Chazoka, V'yivenu HaMokom HaZeh, V'yitim Lanos Haaretz HaZoh, Seretz Eretz Chosvash, Ata Hinei Hivesius Reishis Pri Adom HaShem HaSatu. In order to express my gratitude for this fruit that I'm bringing to Beis HaMikdash, I've got to trace the entire history, the entire development of Jewish history from the time that Yaakov Avinu was in Beis Lavan until the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And why is that so? Why is my Chiyuv Hodah to express thanksgiving so extensive that it incorporates the entire story from Arami Ovid Avi all the way until Yetzias Mitzrayim? And the answer is, because Bishvili Nigalu Avosenu Mitzrayim. I have to see it as if, for me personally, this entire process of redemption took place. And therefore this Hashkof has to be somehow repeated continuously until it's inculcated into our very fiber of our being and our souls. Bishvili Nivra Olam, Bishvili Yatzanu Mimitzrayim. And this engenders a Chiyuv Hodah that we have to express our thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should never be Kfriyei Tov. So on the one hand, we have a declaration of faith about Hashgacha Pratis for each individual. On the other hand, we have a practical application of that declaration of faith in terms of the Achrayus, the responsibility that is incumbent upon us. And number three, we have also an expression of thanksgiving for everything that happened throughout history, because Bishvili, it's all for me. And I think this reaches the apex in the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas in the Gemara in Tainis Chafei, which you'll see as the fourth source on your page. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, the Chikolei Milsa Tuvim, was very, very poor. Avad Milsa, Rashi explains that he was letting out blood. That was very common in those days. Hakozas Dam. But it's very important after you do the Hakozas Dam that you eat something. Shakal Bara Detuma Vishadya Bafuma. He took some sort of a piece of garlic and he put it in his mouth. That wasn't a smart move. Chalash Libe Vinim. He actually fainted. Azul Rabbanu L'Shulibe. The rabbis came to ask how he's doing. Chazyu Dekabachi V'chayach. In this state of being faint, of fainted, he's sort of like in a semi-conscious or subconscious state. He was laughing and crying. V'nafik tzusisa denura me'apuse, and a flash of lightning, of fire, was shooting off of his metzach, of his forehead. Ki yis'ayer amrulei, when he woke up, they asked him, "Maitaima kabachis v'chaychis, why are you crying and laughing?" Amalu, he responded, "Davi Yosef imi Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem was with me, sitting with me, so to speak, an intimate connection." The Amrili lay, and I asked Hashem, "Ad Masai Etz Tayer by Alma. I'm so poor. To what point do I have to suffer in this world?" The Amrili, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu responded, "Lozer Bini Nichalel." Michalach, if you would so choose, I'll give you the option. The Afche Li Alma Mereisha. I will turn over the world from standing on its head, and Efshar, perhaps in this new world that's going to be rearranged, Misyaldis Bishata Demzone, you will be born under a more fortunate star, so to speak, and you will have Mizone, you will have food to eat. It's unbelievable. What we learned from this Gemara is that the world is structured in such a way, all the pieces of the puzzle fit in, that if we were to change one piece of the puzzle, one individual, instead of Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas being poor, he would be financially comfortable. Hashem says, I would have to undo the entire Seder of Bris Olam. I have to rebuild the entire earth. Bishvili Nivra Olam, for the individual. The world is created exactly, precisely, so that every individual person will have his midah, his measure of what's meant to to be bestowed upon him by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if there's going to be a change in such a way that one individual, Blaz Ben Pedas, is going to be born with financial stability and security, then we'd have to change and undo the entire creation. That's Bishvili Nivra Olam. It's an amazing concept. Tremendous sense of responsibility, but also a great expression of thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having created us all. I want to go back to the pasuk Re'ei Anochi Nosein Lefneichem Hayom Brachu Klola, and I want to learn with you the pasuk according to the Sefarno. The Sefarno says the following: Re'ei, also again focused on the fact that it's in Lashon Yachid, but perhaps also trying to explain why it says Re'ei Si and not Shema, listen. He says, Habita Ure'e, if you take a look at Bracho Klala, these are two polar extremes. Shalo yiye inyanecha al ofen beinoni, kemoshu minag haminag baro. Again, the language of the Sfarno is very heavy, but I think if we take it apart piece by piece, the Sfarno is saying something amazing. There are two choices in front of you. God says, man, you have two alternatives. One leads to Bracha, the other leads to Klala, and they're two polar extremes. There's no room for a middle of the ground. There's no room for compromise. Some people like to give themselves a pat on the back, and they want to be mediocre. The speech here of the Torah, the way the Sfarno formulates it, is anti-mediocrity. No room for mediocrity. The attitude of, let me just get by, is not acceptable. Says the Sfarno, ki aminik, hu aminik barov, most people, you know, I'm not too pious, I'm not too serious, I'm not too bad, I'm not evil. You know, I do what I do, and life goes on. And that's the attitude of mediocrity. That's for the rov. The Torah is saying no. Re'u, you should know. Re'e is addressing the individual. And you've got to see this, you've got to feel it. Ki omnam anochi nosein lefneichem hayom, what I'm giving you is brachu klola ve'ishnei tzavos. Sfarno says there are two polar extremes. Those are the two choices. It's u'bacharta b'chayim. Ki abrachi atzlocha yoser men amaspik al tzara yoser tov. Brachaya means complete, total perfection. To be matzliach even more than good. Klola, on the other hand, is ma'ora, is a curse, mechaseres, that's absolutely deficient. Shlo yusag amaspik ushneim lifneichem lahasik fima shetivchur. You have two choices, one extreme or the other. It's fascinating to me that the Sfarno at the beginning of Parshas Re'eh doesn't allow us to accept the middle of the road. You know, we always speak about the beinanim, the tluyim v'omdim. Oh no, the Sfarno says you have two choices: get yourself on the right path, pick yourself up, strive for perfection. Have great and high aspirations. Re'ei, and it's Lashon Yachid. You should know that as an individual, you have two paths in front of you. But choose the right one because you have great potential. There's no room for the Derech Beinonis. Every person should remove himself from the rov. Al telchu achrei harabim. Don't go by the majority, who are very satisfied and complacent where they are. Oh no, you should recognize with your eyes, see it in front of you, the great potential if you go for bust, if you go for it all, if you choose the bracha. Now, of course, it's impossible to immediately achieve bracha and shlemus, to be perfect from the get-go. It's a process. There's a great deal of work that has to be done. Toreach v'amelus. And when one is at the beginning of his career in studying Torah, for sure, he's got to take baby steps. But I think the purpose here of the Sfarno in interpreting Re'ei Anochi is get yourself on the right path. Begin your career by having a vision of how far you can go. The Mesilas Yesharim, in the first 12 chapters, addresses every single rank and file citizen of Klal Yisrael. In chapter 13, he speaks about the Midah of Prishus, and he says that's already for Chassidus. But nevertheless, the Mesilas Yesharim wants every single Jew to read that. The Mesilas Yesharim understands that not every Jew will reach that high level of precious that's going to take us all the way to Ruach HaKodesh. That's a level of piety above and beyond the average rank and file citizen, but yet the Ramchal wants us to get a vision. If we're on the right path, who knows how far we can go. The importance here is what we call, and this is of the term here in Israel from the army, lehityatzev, hityatzvut. Hityatzvut means when the soldier shows up in front of his mifaked, in front of his commander, I'm here for duty. I'm on the right path. Rabbeinu Yonah, the great Rishon, who wrote the Shari Tshuva, tells us that there are two types of tshuva. There are chotim who sin occasionally from time to time. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, and this is in Shar Aleph, he says, Olav lischaret al chato lisvados, he should have remorse and vidui for his sins. But he says, that's only one category. That's a person who's an occasional sinner. But then he says, there's an ish hamityatzev al derech lo tova. He's consistently on the wrong path. V'gavra al chatov, v'dorech b'chol yom, v'shone b'vlaso. He's really sunk in the mud. He says, Reishis tshuva ish hazeh, how does such a person, an absolute sinner, begin the process of tshuva? He says, lazov darko. He has to change his path. He was mityatzev on the wrong road. He's got to make an absolute change. You know, they say that once the Hasidim were talking to the Kotzke Rebbe, and they said, how can we do tshuva? The Torah says, kirachok, our sins, chatoim is kirachok mimizrach lemayrov, from one end of the world to the other. How can we do tshuva? So the Kotzke Rebbe says, you don't understand the pasuk. Mimizrach lemayrov means you just have to change your direction. You're looking in the wrong way. What we need is to find the derech hatshuva. The derech hatshuva means to put ourselves on the right path, the path towards bracha, and not the opposite. Once we are mityatzev, once we stand up there, and we're ready to go down that path, then it's azivas haderech, we leave the wrong path, we're on the right path. It's interesting that in the slichos, we begin the slichos, not with kel, with the regular paragraph, but rather with the paragraph that begins Derech Tshuva Horesa. And then we go to the regular paragraph. How does it go, the regular paragraph that repeats itself over and over again? El Melch Yoshev HaKisei Rachamim, right? So that's the refrain over and over again, right, before we do the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. But in the first one, it's Derech Tshuva Horesa. Meaning, even before we get into the nitty gritties of tshuva, the step by step, we've got to choose the right path, the derech tshuva, and therefore we have to be mityatzev on the derech tshuva, the derech tov, and our first choice is going to be critical. Everything is inherent in the reishis. If we start the year on the right path, if we choose the right path, and our mind and our souls are set, our goals are set, then it will ultimately lead to our destination. On this pasuk Re'ei Anochi, we have a comment of the Zkeinim Mibalei HaTosfos. Re'ei Anochi, who's talking? Moshe Rabbeinu. Re'ei Anochi, look at me. Says the Tosfos, Shebacharti B'tovo. I am the paradigm of someone who chooses the good path. Ulefichach, Ani Mishuna Mikol. I am different. Shenemar Moshe lo yoda ki koran or panav. The pasuk in Shmos Lamed Daled describes Moshe Rabbeinu with the rays of light that radiated from his forehead. Fascinating that in this pasuk, according to Bali HaTosfos, Moshe is telling the people, look at me as a paradigm. Not al tzgaiva, but just that we should see someone who can inspire us. Someone who sets the high standard for us, so that we're always looking at someone who's greater than us, who inspires us to climb and ascend higher and higher, Miyala Bar Hashem. We should always try to size up to someone who's greater than us, not someone who's lower than us. I want to learn with you the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, which you'll see on your page. The Aruch Chaim says on this pasuk, he has many different comments on this pasuk, but one of them, Ode, furthermore, Yirtze b'mayma re'e anochi, what the Torah wants to convey here, al derech omrim zal yachal adam lasos atzmo kim Moshe Rabbeinu. A person could actually become like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what it says in the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. In fact, the Rambam says it. The Rambam in Perek Hey Milchus Tshuva Alocha Beis says, "Kol Adam Roy Lios Tzadi Kimosh Rabbeinu." That's what it says in the Rambam. Every person has that unbelievable potential. And the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh goes further. He says, "For whom Hashem Iram Ki Elav Yiru Li Damos Elav." That's what Moshe wanted to point out, that they should see him, Re'u. You should see me. Every person has the ability to come close to the Avodas HaKodesh, to serve Hashem, to imitate Moshe Rabbeinu. They should not compare themselves to someone who is inferior to them, but rather you, B'enei Atzman, ki, and here he paraphrases the pasuk in Iyov in Perek Lamed Aleph, kabir mitza'a yadam. Kabir means powerful. What I have is intense. Every individual, bishvili divra olam, the lashon yachid, has tremendous potential. We have to begin with a sense of believing in ourselves, self-confidence. And says the Aruch Chaim, ulai shelo omar remez el yichidiyam. Then he backtracks a little. Ulai, he says an alternative shot is that the reason why it's lashon yachid is because it's addressing to the yichidiyam, those unique individuals who are superior, asher yachidu atzmon, who can prepare themselves lahasog el yona for tremendous achievements. Ki mi v'mi haroi lahasig hasog zu lios kemoshe. Not everyone can reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. So you see that the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh vacillates back and forth as to what level a person can reach. Does he have the capacity to reach a level of Moshe Rabbeinu? That's the first shot is yes, and the second shot is no. That's only for the Yechidim. But the point is that everyone here, all the Mefarshim, are emphasizing that Re'eh opens up with a very profound demand and Musar Shmuz. We should strive for higher levels. We should go for broke, as we saw in the Svarno. And every individual has to realize his great potential. Bishvili Divrei Olam. It's a very individual statement. And then the Torah continues. And the Torah says, Es habracha asher tishmu'u el mitzvos Hashem, v'aklala im lo tishmu'u el mitzvos Hashem. And the Mefarshim are bothered by the discrepancy in the language here between the reish of the pasuk and the sefer. The Torah should have been consistent. It should have said, Es habracha im tishmu'u el mitzvos Hashem. Or if it chooses asher tishmu'u, haklala asher lo tishmu'u, it switches from im to from asher, excuse me, to im. With regard to bracha, it says asher. With regard to the klola, it says im. What's the difference between im and asher? The word im means, if you go this way, what's going to happen down the line? Asher, I think, is a natural, immediate repercussion inherent in a decision. God gives you two choices. Make your decision. The first decision is the bracha decision. A person decides he's going on the right path. He's mityatzev, as we said before, on the derech tova. You know what? His experience doesn't have to wait till down the line. The very moment that he accepts upon himself to follow in that path, the derech tova, es habracha asher tishmu, it's already, the bracha is already inherent in that decision. In the case of someone who chooses the wrong path, he thinks everything is going to go well in his life. There is im lo tishmu, the klola will come im, meaning down the line. It's not immediate. It's not inherent. Okay, we want to now fast forward to Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Hey. The Torah says the following. Ki im el hamokom asher yivchar Hashem Elokeicha mikol shivteichem lasum eshmo sham. There is a place that God chooses from amongst the tribes, and that's where He will place His name. And then it says four words at the end of the pasuk: l'shichno sidrishu ubasa shama. What does this mean? L'shichno sidrishu. You should seek out His shechina, His presence, and come there. So the Ramban wants to understand what is seeking out. Says the Ramban, v'tam l'shichno sidrishu, the meaning of you shall seek out His presence. Shetelchu me'eretz marchakim, you should go to Him from distant lands. V'tishalu, and you should ask, you know, when you meet people on the way, and you're on the way, you should ask people, ana derech beis Hashem, which is the road that will lead us to the house of Hashem. V'tomru ishal reyehu, and as a result of this dialogue, one person will say to his fellow, Lechu v'nala el har Hashem el beis Elokei Yaakov. Come, let us go up to the har Hashem, to the temple of the God of Jacob. This is a paraphrase of a pasuk in Yeshayahu Perek Beis. And the Ramban is saying that even if you know the way to get to the temple, you don't need to ask directions. Nevertheless, you should interact with people, because this will engender enthusiasm. We're going together. We're inspired to seek out the place of the temple. And the Ramban adds, Kilshon, as it says in the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perek Nun, it says, Tzion Yishalu Derech Heina Fnehem. That's a difficult language. It means that when they seek out Hashem, they will ask the way to Zion. Right? Tzion Yishalu Derech. They're asking the way to Tzion. And it says, Hinei Fneim. Their faces will be turned towards Tzion. Each person will say to his fellow Jew, come, join me. Let's look for the Beis Hashem. And all this is meant to engender a certain aspiration and a certain excitement. There's a certain joy. One person asks the other, and this inspires him. Yirmiyahu is foretelling the fall of Bavel, when Bavel will fall, and the Golus will terminate, and the Jews will return to Tzion. And with a simcha, they'll ascend to Yerushalayim, asking people they encounter the way through the directions to the holy city, to encourage them to come along with them. You know, you could create a whole children's book about this and draw pictures of Jews calling to other Jews, come, let's go up together to the Beis Hashem. And basically what the Ramban is telling us here is that the mitzvah of L'shichno Sidrishu is not just going up to the Makom HaMikdash and to derive and be inspired from the Makom HaMikdash of Yiras Hashem, but rather we should prepare ourselves. There's a whole, you know, we psych ourselves out, we prepare ourselves for going up to the Mikdash. And this includes talking one to the other, Kuma Nala Beis Hashem. This is a search for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Beis HaLokim. And we get as many people as we can involved. And the Ramban continues, Ubi Sifri, he quotes the Sifri, Sidrishu Drosh Alpi Novi, which literally translates as seek out through the instruction of a prophet, and find out which is the right place for the Beis HaMikdash to be built, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, HaMakom Asher Yivchar, God doesn't identify the exact precise location of the place, and therefore we need a Navi, and by consulting with the Navi, we'll be able to ascertain the precise location of the spot for the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Ramban, Yachal tamtin ad sheyomer lecha navi. So therefore we should think tidrushu alpi navi, meaning let's wait for the navi to tell us where it is. We don't have to seek it out on our own. Talmud Lomar l'shichno sidrushu vasa shama. Even though the word tidrushu means alpi navi, but the Torah says uvasa shama to indicate that even without the tidrushu drosh alpi navi, we have to seek out the presence, the shechina of Hashem, and come there. Droshu matza v'achkach yomer l'cha navi. First, you should seek out the place on your own. Find it. And afterwards, you'll get an ishur, a confirmation from the prophet, from the Navi. V'cheina tamotze v'David HaMelech. David tried on his own to figure out where is the Makom HaMikdash, as the Gemara tells us in Zvachim. And David did this by analyzing various psukim in Tanakh. And nevertheless, he didn't determine that this is the place until he got the confirmation from a Navi. We begin to see an entire picture, a very sophisticated picture, within the context of this Ramban of L'shichno Sidrushu, that we're talking about an intense, profound, emotional experience of preparation for the Beis HaMikdash. What will happen when we get to the Beis HaMikdash? We're going to see that later. The impact on our souls, the Yerushalayim. But the story begins much earlier, when we prepare ourselves for the Beis HaMikdash. And according to the Sifri L'shichno Sidrushu, it's not just Aliyah L'Regel, that we go three times on the festivals. No, it's much more than that. We're talking about finding the place where the Mikdash will be built. And even though after David HaMelech and Gad HaNavi gave him the confirmation, it's no longer relevant, we no longer can seek a different place, but the message here is eternal. Because the message means that each and every one of us has to be Doresh, we have to look for the Shekhinah. In our own lives, we have to sweat and toil and try to find ways in which we can discover for ourselves the Shekhinah. This has to be our aspiration. We have to look for that atmosphere of Kedusha. And if we don't have the Mikdash today, perhaps what it means is, as the Gemara tells us in Megillah, V'ehelachem l'migdash ma'at elu batei knesios u'batei midrashos. Where is the Shekhinah today? Where is the house of God? And the answer is the Beis Knesses, the Beis Medrash. We have to gravitate towards the Beis HaKnesses, towards the Beis Hashem. We have to look and seek a place that's appropriate for us, not just because it's proximate and the location is close, but because it speaks out to us, it touches on our soul. We want to achieve Kedusha Yerushalayim, and in order to maximize those opportunities and achieve those goals of Kinyanei HaTorah and Kinyanei Yerushalayim, what we have to do is prepare ourselves. We have to talk to others and be inspired by others, prepare ourselves in order to seek out and find Hashem in the Makom HaShechinah. And now the very next parasha here in Perek Yud Beis, in Parashas Re'eh, which you'll just fast forward to Pasuk Chaf Hei, is the parasha of Kashrus, of kosher food and non-kosher food. And the Torah begins by telling us, Rak chazak lebilti achol hadam ki adamu anefesh, we're joined from blood. And then the Torah says, Lo sochlenu, do not eat blood. Leman yitav lecha ulebanecha acharecha, ki tase hayosher b'yedi Hashem. The Torah adds a phrase here, which I want to call to your attention, Kitasa Hayosha Bini Hashem, where you do what's right in the eyes of Hashem. That phrase repeats itself throughout. The Ramban points out in Parshas Achremos, which you'll see it's the third source up from the bottom of your page, says the Ramban, why are we enjoined from eating blood? Bavur Shadamu Nefesh. There's an identity here between the Dam and the soul. Even the animal soul, in roi shetochal hanefesh hanefesh. The Ramban understands that there's a philosophy behind the kashrus laws. There is a rationale. We don't always understand it, but we can, in certain cases, give it our best shot and try to understand it. Give it whatever rational lefi datenu, whatever we're able to come up with. And therefore, the Ramban says that the nefesh, the soul, is very important. We have to give respect to the soul. Even the soul of an animal deserves our kavod. And even if the animal is dead, We don't drink its blood. And basically, what the Ramban does throughout the Torah is he tries to teach us Vasisa Hayashar B'Eni Hashem. We have to do what's right. And that's what the Torah emphasizes here. Kitas Hayashar B'Eni Hashem. In the case of the prohibition against eating dam, there are deeper meanings behind it. And it's called Asiyas HaTov HaYashar. We have to do the best. And the ultimate goal of all the mitzvahs is that our nefesh, our soul, should be clean, it should be pure. We shouldn't contaminate it, in this case with the eating of dam. And whenever the Torah tells us to do the Yashar HaTov, the Torah always points out that there's a certain reward that's given with that mitzvah. So for example, if you take a look at Parshas Beshalach, which is the next to the last source on your page, Vayomer in Shamoa Tishma, we call Hashem Elokecha, Vayoshev Bein of Tase, if you'll be absolutely loyal to observe the mitzvahs and do whatever Hashem asked you to do, the Torah says, as a result of Asisa Yoshar, it's you'll be spared of all those machlos of Mitzrayim. And now if we look and say for Devarim Parshas Vaschanan, it says Vasisa Yoshav Atov B'Eni Hashem, and immediately L'man Yitav L'cha U'Bosa V'Yarash Tes Oretz Atov Asher Nishpa Hashem L'Avosecha. In our Parshas Re'ei Lo Sochlenu L'man Yitav L'cha U'Bonech Achrech Kitasa Yoshav B'Eni Hashem, Hashem is promising the good and all the rewards because we do Yashar B'Enei Hashem. And this will be passed on as a legacy to our children. Later on, right here in this parasha, Pasuk Chav Ches, the Torah says, L'man Yitav L'chol B'Nech Achrech Ad Olam Ki Tasa Tov HaYashar B'Enei Hashem Elokecha. Or for example, at the end of Perek Yud Gimel, the Torah says, V'Nosan L'chol Rachamim V'Richamecha, etc., etc., ki tishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha, lishmar es kol motzosov, lasos hayosha b'enei Hashem Elokecha. Our goal and our responsibility is asiyas hayosha b'enei Hashem. And if we do so immediately and consistently, the Torah promises us great reward. And if you take a look at the second page that I gave you, or the second side, you'll see that the parsha in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches, Lo Yidbak B'Yodchem U'Mu'min Acherem, this is enjoining us to stay far away from Avodah Zorah. And once again, the Torah is very consistent. Ki Tishma B'Kol Hashem Elokecha, Lishma Esm Sol Sish Nogu Tzom Ayom, Lasos HaYosha B'Eni Hashem Elokecha, and therefore V'Nosa L'Cha, God will give you Rachamim and all the good. And this we see over and over again. The last thing I want to discuss with you, because we're running out of time, is a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Mem, says, "Lasos tzon chalukai chafatzti v'soroscha besoch mea." David HaMelech has a very, very strange expression, and he's talking about the Torah in my kishkes. What does that mean? If you take a look at the parsha here in Re'eh, Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Chaf Ches, Shmar v'shamatas kol advar me'ela sh'arnochi b'tzavcha l'man yitav l'chol b'necha chayan olam kitas ha'yosh b'ni Hashem, says Rashi Shmar, he says zu mishna sh'atot tzorek l'shomer b'bitnecha sh'lo tishnach. Now I understand that we try to remember the Torah that we study in our minds, perhaps in our hearts, but here Rashi has a different phrase, b'bitnecha, in our stomachs. And perhaps Rashi bases himself on the pasuk in Tehillim, v'soroscha b'soch me'ai. And what we're saying here, v'soch me'ai, is that somehow we have to guard the Torah, that it shouldn't be forgotten. It's got to be bibitnecha, it's got to be v'soch me'ai. Why bibitnecha? Why is it that the Torah has to be protected and secured in our beten, in our kishkes? And it seems to me that we're talking about achila, we're talking about eating in two different contexts, under two different categories. On the one hand, there's physical eating, what we call mazon gashmi, physical sustenance. And There's a second context and a concept which is called mazon ruchani, which is spiritual sustenance, Torah and mitzvahs. And one might think that, you know, I chew my food and that's enough. We know that's not so. There's a whole digestive process and has to go into the kishkes. And so too, with regard to mazon ruchani, it's not enough to just learn something or to implement a mitzvah. We have to digest it. The Torah and the mitzvahs have to become part of our very essence. And what is ikul? What is digestion in the physical sense? It means that whatever we get out of the food, the various nutrients, etc., they have to be separated and they have to be sent to different parts of the body. Every different aver needs its sustenance. And that's what digestion is all about. So too, by parallel, in the spiritual world, there's got to be a process of ikul, of digestion. The spiritual properties have to be broken down and sent to the various shasagidim arach evarim. Man's spiritual makeup is very complex. There are different parts of man's spirituality. When a student comes to yeshiva and he has aspirations to grow in learning, to become a Talmud Chacham, it's a process. Sometimes you see people who are observant. You know, they fulfill the mitzvos, they come to daven, but yet they never really digested it. It's not really part of them. It's sort of external. A person comes to yeshiva, he wants to be a student and a ben yeshiva. It's great, he's in an environment of l'shichno sidrashu. He certainly has a gravitational pull to those individuals who will become models for him, and that's great. But he's got to work. There's got to be a melus. There's got to be yigiyah. He's got to learn musar. His ultimate goal is to take together all the Torah that he studies and bring it into his kishkes, into his meayim. It's got to be digested. There's got to be a process of equal. He has to convert the Torah into some essential part of himself. And that requires a great deal of work. We find so many scholars who come into the Beis Medrash, they're brilliant, they study, they can tell you how many blot they covered in its mind, great. But yet, somehow the Torah hasn't really penetrated into their hearts and into their souls. It's not giving them that spiritual sustenance that they need so desperately. They still are a little bit cold to Yiddishkeit, to davening, to learning. Yes, they do it perfunctorily, it's their obligation. They show up, it's like punching in a clock. But it's not really them. It's not essential to the very air that they breathe, to the very souls. The Torah is mayim. A person is tzomei, heavy called tzomei l'chula mayimei, mayim el Torah. It's got to be something that satiates us, that energizes us and excites us. And therefore, we have to put a tremendous emphasis, as Rashi says over here in Parashas Re'eh, on tzorech l'shomer bebitnecha. It's got to go into the kishkes, into the beten. Or as David HaMelech phrased it, v'toros tovesof me'ai, yirotzame pi his will, that we take the Torah that we study and allow it to penetrate into our very bloodstream. But I mean in the spiritual sense, to sustain and maintain us spiritually in all dimensions of our life. We should never be complacent and be satisfied like the rank and file majority with mediocrity. We could strive, as the Sfarno would say, to get the whole bit, the whole kit and caboodle, the entire bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu addresses us as individuals. Re'ei Anochi Nasati. It's for you. It's for me. It's for Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Yiratzon that we should be zocha as individuals to live up to our potential, to take examples from those who are greater than us and inspire us, and by imitating them, to make our individual contributions to Klal Yisrael, so that the total collective whole, that indivisible entity of Knesset Yisrael, will be glorious, will radiate like the light that shined off the head of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is a Heftah Shel Torah. This is what we have to strive for. And with Siyata Dishmaya, if we put ourselves B'tyatzvut on the right path, if we stand ourselves on the Derech Tova, Atah Reisel on the Derech Tshuva, we'll come back to Hashem and we will be close to Him through that Ava and that Yira, Kedi Ratzon. Amen.